Are you ready for the conscience of psychiatry? For the best-selling author of Talking Back to Prozac, Toxic Psychiatry, and Medication Madness? It's the Dr. Peter Bragan Hour with guests and callers seeking the truth about psychiatry and psychotherapy and how you can make the most of your own life right here on the Progressive Radio Network.
And this is Dr. Peter Bragan, and I am the conscience of psychiatry. Now, I'm not completely alone in that role. There are a lot of little consciences sort of doing their things, and one of them is right out of the establishment, Alan Francis. Now, Alan's a psychiatrist. He's a former department head at Duke, Duke being one of the most oppressive biological psychiatry schools you can imagine. I actually was involved in a lawsuit against Duke that had to do with nothing less than a psychiatrist that was doing shock treatment, going into business with his patients, had his own private ward, and would send off those who rebelled for lobotomies at Harvard. So Duke's an interesting place, on the cutting edge. Cutting edge. Alan Francis has just done an op-ed piece for the New York Times. And Alan starts his piece off commenting on the current, just over meetings of the annual meetings of the American Psychiatric Association. And he tells us, quote, at the annual meeting this week, the American Psychiatric Association did two wonderful things. It rejected one reckless proposal that would have exposed non-psychotic children to unnecessary and dangerous antipsychotic medication. By that he means, I believe, that they turned down a DSM-IV proposal to set up a diagnosis for pre-psychotic children, so you could give pre-psychotic children the drugs that don't work anyway on psychotic children. And another, he says, that would have turned existential worries and sadness of everyday life into an alleged mental disorder. Now, Alan is from the establishment, so what's his solution to this? You'll never guess. Guess. His solution is more establishment. Alan suggests that we got to get folks to oversee these DSM-IV diagnostic charlatans, not his word. He wants to get some equivalent to the FDA, doing a great job, of course. He wants to oversee the DSM with something like the National Institute of Mental Health, or maybe the Department of Health and Human Services, or maybe the World Health Organization. Now, the only good news about that is, can you imagine all of them trying to agree on anything? That might just stop up the drain for years. Good idea. Alan also suggests that we need more representation, not just the psychiatrists, but also he'd like psychologists involved, counselors involved, social workers involved, nurses involved. That ought to get Alan invited to a few other national conferences and conventions, you know, psychologists, social workers, and so on. He'd even like the primary care docs in there because they give the majority of drugs, so they ought to have a say, and the diagnostic manual helps straighten things out. I like all of this because can you imagine the mess to be made, how hard it's going to be for the drug companies to control all those different institutions and then all those different doctors? And then he comes up with a conclusion I want to read to you. It's brief. Psychiatric diagnosis is simply too important to be left exclusively in the hands of psychiatrists. They will always be an essential part of the mix, but they should no longer be permitted to call all the shots. I like that. Psychiatrists, my colleagues, I'm a psychiatrist. Not calling all the shots sounds like a pretty good thing to me. And it parallels my new book. The book due out in late July is Psychiatric Drug Withdrawal, a guide for prescribers, therapists, patients, and their families. You can order the book with one of the few discounts that will ever be available on my website, on Bregan.com, Bregin.com. And other folks are doing it. Get an advance copy. Make this a bestseller. Not just because it would be nice for me to offer, but because the world really needs to learn a lesson being suggested actually by no one less than this esteemed Duke professor, Dr. Allen. It's a lesson that I'm trying to teach, which is it's time to stop letting psychiatrists, and I'll broaden it to prescribers, call the shots. Prescribers often don't know anything about the drugs they're prescribing. They're often devoted to prescribing more of these drugs. So I'm suggesting, and I describe in the book how to go about this, to bring a team to bear on psychiatric drug prescription and psychiatric drug withdrawal that involves not just the prescriber, but the therapist. It's time for therapists to stop just doing the bidding of prescribers. No more this medication compliance. Let's have the therapist learning about drugs, learning to talk to patients about drugs, being unafraid to talk to patients about drugs, and let's involve patients and their families. Patients and their families. That might be a good mix that I don't think Alan threw in to his potpourri of people who ought to be influencing the Psychiatric Association. I have to go look at his list, but I don't think I saw patients and their families. So psychiatric drug withdrawal, you can get it now, advance at a reduced price on Bregan.com. You can also order it in advance at a regular price on Amazon.com. It's from Springer Publishing Company. I've written it so that the whole team can benefit during drug prescription and especially drug withdrawal. The whole team, which is not just prescriber, but therapist, patient, and family. Now, my guest today, I'm looking forward to. Orly, are you there in the background?
I am here.
Oh, good. How do I sound, Orly? Am I coming across clear?
Yep, perfect.
Oh, good. You sound good, too.
Okay, now, great.
Now, this is fun for me because Orly, unlike a lot of my guests who end up saying, yes, you know, I was inspired by Peter Bregan, sometimes surprising me, Orly never heard of me. I never heard of Orly. But my wife, in her ever-increasing quest to find wonderful, interesting people on the cutting edges of empathic work, came upon Orly's YouTube presentation. And perhaps she can tell us, when I finally give her a chance to talk, perhaps she can tell us about how she created that that wonderful YouTube presentation. It's a Pass It On. Those of you who've seen the movie about passing it on, we'll
Pay It Forward.
Pay It Forward will be familiar with. And there's a Coke ad. Is it Coke, Orly, or that has this lovely Pass It On concept in it?
Oh, well, yeah, they're also actually that connected with me, too, in regard to that. But, yeah, they're running like a kindness type of campaign.
Yeah. So Orly has done, though, a wonderful YouTube, which on the YouTube says it's had about 6 million people downloaded, and Orly tells me it's up to 20 million. So my guest is Orly Wahba. It's OLYWAHBA, Orly Wahba. She's the founder and president of Life Vest Inside. Orly teaches at the yeshiva in Flatbush and has taken a year off to develop Life Vest Inside. She's got a master's in education, and she's just full of life and determination. So Orly Wahba, here's the microphone.
Thank you so much for that unbelievable introduction. I really appreciate it, and I'm honored to be on your show.
Oh, well, I'm delighted to have you.
Time. Thank you so much. So just to answer the question that you mentioned about the film, so the film I created for the organization, for Life Vest Inside, to basically show the power of kindness. The name of the film is actually called Kindness Boomerang, and the whole purpose is that kindness really is has a boomerang effect, that once you put an act of kindness out there into the world, it ripple effects in a way that you can't even begin to measure. And you never know where your kindness is going to go. And it may sometimes eventually come right back and boomerang right back to the person that set it into motion. So one of the reasons I actually decided to do this film, when I first came up with the concept and wanting to actually put Life Vest Inside into an organization, to a movement, I said to myself, I wanted to create something that would be able to show my viewers, the people that were hearing about the organization, just about the amazing power of kindness and how it has the ability to affect so many in such a rapid way. So I said to myself, you know, Orly, I happened to have been involved in film production prior to teaching. I went to undergraduate school in Brooklyn College, and I majored in film production there, which I absolutely loved because it was all about giving across a message. So I said to myself, you know, why not film it? You know, use the talents that I went to school for and actually put it into good use. So since I'm a teacher and I work like full time, I'm always with the kids, even after school's over. We're always doing projects, always about building self-esteem and building unity of the grade. So I never have any time during the year. So the summer came along, and I said to myself, I have 2 months. That's it. I got to make sure I utilize these 2 months so much. So I sat down, and I just started recording, you know, acts of kindness that I've come across throughout my life. Simple things that stood out to me. I hadn't been involved in film for like 7 years. I was teaching for 7 years. So I just sat down and started writing, just reminiscing old stories that really stuck out to me. And suddenly, right in front of me, the script kind of came to life. It was amazing. And so I had all these little post-its of all different kindness events, experiences that took place. I had tons of them. And I put them all across the wall and started piecing together how one act of kindness can lead to the next, can lead to the next. And right there, the script came to life. You know,
are those professional actors?
Well, actually, so everyone in the film, yes, they are all actors. I put up, because I was using all my funding, you know, all the money that I've made to really do it. I didn't have any outside funding for it. So I put up on, I reached out first of all to my DP, my director of photography that I worked with in college. And he came on board to help out with the project and basically put out a casting call for actors, you know, and got tons of responses. It was amazing. It was amazing how quickly and how many responses I got. It wasn't a paid job for them, but, you know, of course they would receive, you know, credits in the film and a copy of the film and the experience in general. And we had auditions. From auditions until the actual day of the film was 2 weeks, which was the craziest 2 weeks ever. We shot on September 1st. It was a one-day shoot because the entire film, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but the whole thing was done in one shot. There are actually no cuts.
I'm not smart enough to notice that. That sounds incredible. How long is the film? I don't remember.
Well, on YouTube it says 5 minutes 45 seconds. That's including, you know, the credits and stuff. So it's about 5 minutes, actual short itself.
That's got to be what makes it so exciting that people, millions are watching, is that you got the total continuity of that. That's amazing that you did that. Tell us how in the world you decided at your age and stage to begin to devote your life to encouraging kindness. Where did that come from?
Oh, boy. The truth is it's a compilation of so many events in my life. But I'm going to share with you a personal experience that took place when I was younger. That definitely is one of the stepping stones to why I decided and why I feel so strongly about, you know, involving myself in an organization that's not only to do with kindness, but to do with empowerment and building self-value and self-esteem.
I want to say to folks, you know, listen to Orly because this is about one person making up her mind to do something, and she's doing it. And you can do it, and it's inspiring me to think, my gosh, what do I have to do to get 6 million people to watch one of my YouTubes? So, I mean, this is really good. So go ahead. You were going to tell us a story.
Sure. So, basically, I mean, the passion for, I've always loved people. Since I'm a kid, I always wanted to heal the world, in a sense. My brothers used to make fun of me as a kid. They always used to sing the song, Heal the World, to me. They're like, oh, Orly, you want to heal the world, you know. What are you talking about? What are you going to do? How are you going to really go out there and make a difference? And I was really young. I mean, I'm talking back from when I was, you know, 5, 6 years old. I always had this feeling, wanting to try and help people to see how great they are and what the power of kindness can do. So as a kid, I had actually very, very low self-esteem, very low self-confidence. I was extremely shy, which today when I tell that to people, they think I'm lying to them 100%. But I was really very, very shy and really just, I didn't have much confidence. And so, you know, and I would be discouraged by a lot of people sometimes telling me, you know, I can't do certain things and, you know, and it would really put me in a bad state. I'll tell you the first experience that I can remember that really set this all into motion. I was in third grade, and I was in resource room, which is basically, you know, they kind of take you out of the class because you're not really up to par with all the other students. It's a kind of like an embarrassing thing, you know, when you're a kid, to kind of be taken away from everybody else.
Yeah, sure.
And yeah, and I'll never forget the teacher in the resource room. She gave us this poem. And she told us to decorate the poem. And so I decorated the poem, you know, construction paper, the whole thing. And as I got to read the poem over and over, it really, really spoke to me. I was 8 years old when I first heard that poem. I remember it till this very day. And that poem is a very big reason why I continuously push forward, because I'm sure many people out there that are listening to this have been discouraged many times in their life. And sometimes ask themselves the question, you know, do I matter? And can I really make a difference in this world? And so if you don't mind, I'd actually like to tell you what the poem is.
Sure.
It's a short poem. If you think you can do it, if you think you can't do it, you can't. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win but think you can't, it's almost as if you won't. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. For out in this world we find success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in a state of mind. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man. For sooner or later, the man who wins is the one who thinks he can. That poem spoke to me so much at that age.
You were eight at the time?
I was 8 years old.
Wow.
I'll never forget that poem, ever.
Yeah.
You know, I spoke about that poem, I remember, on my high school, at my high school entrance when I had to have an interview, as well as college, because I always told, oh yeah, you can't do that, or you're not going to be able to do that. Who do you think you are? They're going to be able to make that change or make that difference, or, you know, do as well as you think you can do, because I was a weak student. And it really, really spoke to me, and it gave me the feeling of empowerment. You could do anything that you set your mind to.
Orly, it's funny, when I asked you how old you were, I think you said you were 27 going on 8.
Oh, it's funny. I'm 29, actually.
29,
but I like 27
going on
more.
8.
I am. Exactly. That is what I said.
All right.
So tell us
some more. Carry us on a bit further to just getting this idea, because this is a self-empowerment. And, and you've already got this huge accomplishment. So tell us some more then about moving toward what eventually brought you to Life Vest Inside.
So basically, fast-forwarding some years now, with that same mode and that same feeling of being able to make a difference, now into high school, I was 15 years old, and my family, we were fixing up our house. Anyways, we had a big tragedy in the house. There was a fire in the house. Thank God everyone was okay. But we really lost everything. My father's business was in the house, so he was in a very, very difficult financial state. And, you know, my family, we're five siblings, so we were kind of, you know, money was very difficult at that time because of the business. And so we were kind of all separated. You know, my brother in one place, my other brother in another place. I was with my younger sisters. I didn't have my older brothers there to give me any support. And I saw how much my parents were going through such a rough time that I didn't want to burden them anymore. And I was always a very, like, positive person, and I was always kind of a kid, like, you know, if you're absent from school, I take notes for you, you know what I mean? So there I was, just trying to be all positive, and I was in the beginning, but I was a mess inside. And when I tried to actually reach out to people, they kind of changed the subject, because they didn't really know how to deal with it. And then what took place, one night I went to sleep, and I kind of just didn't wake up the next morning. I was, like, in a state of sleep, very, very deep depression for 2 months. I wasn't in school, and unfortunately, you know, people didn't really come and show their support as much as I thought they would. I didn't have people coming over and, you know, giving their support to me, and so I felt more alone during that time in my life than I ever felt. And I didn't want to burden, like I said, I didn't want to burden my family. So it was a very, very, very hard time in my life. And I was really at the point of no end right there. And I'll never forget this one day. I woke up one day. I actually wanted to drop out of school. I'll remember that. And I looked at myself in the mirror, and the person that was looking back at me, I didn't recognize anymore. And I said to myself, I can't let this happen to me. I got to be stronger than this. I got to remember that if you think you can do it, you can. And it was not easy. It was really hard. There were days where I wanted to just give up. And I made myself a promise when I was 15 years old, and it's that promise that led me to life just inside. I promised myself that I would be there for others the way that I had wished someone would have been there for me. As time went on, and I built myself up little by little, my 11th grade year, I remember I was on a seminar, and they were talking about, the teacher, the facilitator, was talking about obstacles and overcoming obstacles. And for the first time, I actually raised my hand, because like I said, I was really shy. And I started giving from my experience, and before I knew it, people started listening. And people started coming to me to ask me for advice. And because I was already empowered, because I had to build myself up, and that's the key here, the thing that I was lacking was this idea of self-value. And I finally was able to build that up within myself after a long time. And by doing that, I was now able to go out there and see other people's weakness and try and help them, which is why I went into film, because film is all about communicating a message. And I had a message I wanted to give across to the world, a message of empowerment and a message of the powerful nature of kindness and how it builds empowerment. And that's what ultimately led me to teaching. And that's what I was doing with my students in class. Well, here's the story how Life Essence Inside, the name actually came about. Some years ago, I think it was in 2007, it was in January of 2007, it was winter vacation time, and I was going away with my family for winter break. And we had a stopover, and at the stopover, I was listening to my voice messages, and I heard very tragic news that a young girl in my community, who was 6 years old at the time, had just passed away to leukemia. And I was devastated by the news. But more than that, the first thing I thought of was that my seventh grade students, who were back home at the time, my seventh grade girls, were actually graduating this year from high school. You see, they had lost a classmate of theirs only 3 years prior to that. And just before winter vacation, they started opening up to me about it, asking questions. You know, why do certain things happen? How do you make sense of the world? How are you able to overcome, you know, the darkness and the hardships? And just before winter vacation, it just started getting through to them. So I said to myself, what am I going to tell all these kids when I get back? How am I going to be able to explain to them how something so tragic yet again has happened? How do you stay afloat in a world that sometimes seems to be pulling you downward, and you have one hardship after the other? And I get onto the plane, and the stewardess sat me in a seat that I wasn't supposed to be in, but the way I believe is everything happens for a reason. And I looked to my left, and right there on the wall of the plane said three words that changed my whole life. And it said on it, life vest inside. And I mean, okay, Orly, you're on a plane, says life vest, what's your issue? So what's a life vest? A life vest keeps you afloat no matter how much you push down upon it. And at that moment, the message I took from it, that Orly, your life vest, your ability to stay afloat in a world that sometimes seems to be pulling you downward, in spite of all the hardships, your life vest is inside of you. It's through the kindness that you give to others and through the kindness others give to you that we help keep each other afloat in this world. So we can't stop hardships from coming about, but we can most certainly get each other through by just giving a little bit of kindness. And the name came about, and it was just an inspirational story I would tell to my classes. Until a few years down the line, the idea actually developed into an organization. It's actually a pretty interesting story. We have what are called acts of kindness cards. I did lots of projects with my students all about building self-esteem, self-love, and recognizing your value as an individual, you know, seeing that you are a piece of the puzzle, that you do matter in this world, just like every piece of a puzzle matters. And so I made these acts of kindness cards, and each card has on it a different act of kindness. And it says, you know, please perform the act and pass the card to someone else. Let's keep the kindness going. And so I gave these cards to my students in order to show them that no matter what, they can have such an effect on people. Just by performing this act and passing it on, you never know where that card is going to go, what path it's going to take. But every person who it touches is going to be affected because they were courageous enough to pass it forward. And so they, in a sense, can matter in someone else's life that they've never, ever met. And so in one class that I was having with my students about dreams and pursuing dreams, and I had them all write down what their dreams are, I said to them, you know, guys, imagine if we made thousands of these cards and we just started giving them out like crazy. So that summer, that's exactly what I did. I started making thousands of those cards.
Tell me again, Orly, what the cards say.
Each card, it says on it, it says act of kindness card. Each card has on it a different act of kindness. So I have a tons of different acts, whether it be something as simple as make someone smile, or, you know, help your mother with the groceries, or pay for the coffee for the person behind you, or hold the door open for someone, whatever it may be. And the instructions are simple, you know, perform the act and then pass the card on to someone else to keep the kindness going. And so I said to myself, after making these cards, you know, one of the biggest issues is that people don't have, like I mentioned before, this idea of self-value. Well, it's great to know, yeah, my card could be out there, but let's show people it really is out there affecting lives. So I said, imagine how amazing it would be if each card had on it a tracking number, that people can actually track their acts of kindness as they're moving in the world. So that whenever they're feeling down or feeling a sense of doubt or feeling hurt or feeling like, what's my purpose here? All you need to do is look in your card box, you know, online or in your app, and you could see all the people that you are affecting right now. And you can connect with them. And so it's creating like a social network for people to connect with each other through kind deeds. And so I said, this has to be, there's only one name for this, and that's Life Best Inside. Little by little, the organization continued to be built in terms of the film and in terms of the educational program I was mentioning to you a little bit earlier. So that's like a general overview.
Now, all of this people can find on your website, lifevestinside.com?
Yes, there's information there. The website is actually being built up further. So not everything is on there, per se, but we have an amazing community, Facebook community right now, in which I'm very active with on a daily basis, as well as a blog that I have through the website. Until the actual app, the tracking capabilities of the cards are developed. It's being developed as we speak. However, the cards are not yet out there in terms of the traceable cards. We have other cards that are actually, that we're putting out there. We're organizing what are called Kindness Mission Days. I actually have one coming up tomorrow. We're going with a group of people. We have 40-plus people tomorrow, and we're just headed out on a day all to do with kindness and increasing our awareness. Because one of the biggest aspects of this organization is about increasing our awareness to the people that are around us. That's a tremendous, tremendous thing. Because very often, you know, in today's society, the way I say it is like we're all in our I world. You know what I'm saying? It's all I. And people are walking around, they don't recognize the other people that are kind of bumping into them. You know, we cross paths with people for a reason. There's a reason there, but if we don't actually open our eyes to it, we're going to miss it completely.
And Orly, we're going to go to break now.
Sure.
We're talking to Orly Wahba. O-R-L-Y, Wahba, W-A-H-B-A. You can find Orly at Orly, O-R-L-Y, at lifevestinside.com. Here is a woman, a young woman by my standard, just turned 76 on May 11th, folks.
Wow.
Yeah, very young by my standards. Like
happy birthday.
50 years young. And thank you. And she's decided to go out there and do something. Lots of us talk about kindness. We wish there was more kindness. We wish there was more love. And she is really working on doing something, and she's starting to think in terms of really using the modern communication systems to accomplish that. Orly, when we come back, talk about your dreams, talk about your future, talk about what you would like to do, and perhaps one or two folks. We don't usually invite callers. We get so involved with our guests, but I think there might be some younger folks out there or older who might like to ask you a question about getting going with their dreams. As we go to break, this is the Conscience of Psychiatry.
Listening to the Dr. Peter Bragan Hour on the Progressive Radio Network. Stay tuned, stay in touch, and call in with your questions at 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888.
And this is Dr. Peter Bragan, and I'm talking with Orly Waba, a teacher at Yeshiva. She's taken a year off to develop Life Vest Inside. And her theme is kindness. Kindness. It certainly fits with the general theme of empathic therapy. And you can get in touch with me, remember, and my organization, and my wife's organization, and if you like, your organization, at empathictherapy.org. Orly, I'm looking ahead to maybe that you could really get something going here. I guess a lot of it wait a minute, I just see a note here, Orly. People are calling in asking for your website to be said clearly out loud.
Sure. It's Life Vest Inside. That's LifeVest, inside, inside, .com.
LifeVestInside.com. And she's Orly, O-R-L-Y, at LifeVestInside.com. I'm delighted folks are calling in wanting to get in touch with you, because I was just saying, I think something could really happen here with what you're doing. Talk to us some more about your ideas. And by the way, you know, folks, you can call in. I don't usually invite callers, but I just think that Orly's just getting really started here. And if any of you want to get in touch with her, please feel free to call in today and ask her something, or just give her some encouragement. Pass on a little kindness. Let's see if the 100th listening, that if some of you want to make contact with this marvelous woman who's really trying to do something in the world. Orly, talk about your ambitions and your hopes, and
sure.
And maybe
first
some more about the technology.
Yeah, sure. First off, I just also would like to say that, you know, anybody can, you know, check us out also on Facebook. And we get tons of comments, whether through YouTube or through Twitter or Facebook. I answer personally every single comment that comes through or every email, and I'm always happy to speak to anybody. I got to say that through the organization, I mean, I have now friends that are in literally every country across the globe, and I just absolutely love connecting with people. You know, I'm definitely out there for you to connect with, and I'd be more than happy to do so.
Good. Good.
Well, in terms of, so I was speaking a little bit about, the technology behind it. So that's with the app that's going to be coming out, which is going to be so exciting. It's really a revolutionary kind of app. There's a lot more to it, but, I'm sure many people will be able to find out about that as the time gets closer. So the whole idea, and like I was mentioning to you, the whole purpose of the organization is utilizing the tool of kindness in order to empower people to recognize their value. You know, I've seen that in today's society, there are so many people that lack that value within themselves. You know, issues, social issues, whether it be with kids, from bullying to peer pressure, substance abuse, depression, which is such a big thing right now. And I've noticed that there's so many programs out there, but they use the word anti. I happen to be very much against that kind of concept and the anti concept, because the moment you use the word anti, you're already using negative energy. So whether if you're going to tell a kid, oh, well, there's an anti-bullying thing, the minute they hear anti, right away, their mind, in a sense, like, turns off. They don't want to hear something negative. But really, the preventative measure to all of these issues is not through, you know, speaking out against something, but it's really speaking for the essence of a person and just how amazing they are. But unfortunately, people don't see that, whether it's that they've been hurt, and people are afraid, actually, in today's society. They're afraid of kindness, or, you know, I get people that are a bit cynical, but that's because they've been hurt before so much that they're afraid to actually give again. And so Life Fest Inside is all about showing people that change is possible through kindness. We're able to really make a change and make a difference. So that's what the whole, you know, educational aspect of the program is. And my dream really is one thing. It's to help people recognize their potential, recognize that they matter, that they're worth something. Because the minute you have an empowered person, you have a person going out there that really can change the world. It's not just something that, you know, we all have dreams, and everybody has the ability to fulfill their dreams. Is it hard? 100% it's hard. There are days that I come across really a lot of obstacles or discouraging words. But if you believe enough in something, and more importantly, if you believe enough in yourself, you can do almost anything.
I love what you're saying, Orly. I really love what you're saying. Now, when you were 15 and you got so depressed, did you see a counselor? Did somebody try to get you to take medication? What happened in terms of psychology and psychiatry? Or did you just work yourself out of this by thinking for yourself, reading for yourself? How'd you go about it?
I'll tell you. I mean, I had my parents really wanted me to see somebody, and so they connected me with a psychologist, but I was very against it. I didn't trust that people really cared, which I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that feeling.
Everybody can relate to that feeling.
100%. I mean, there's people that, you know, they say they care, but then you feel like they don't really care. And so for me as a kid, I was the kind of person that really didn't trust that other people honestly cared. So I would push people away. But, you know, I was saying, oh, no, everything is okay. But in my head, I was like, no, don't leave. Ask me again. But people would then stop asking and they'd go away. And I just proved to myself even further, you see, people don't really care. And I think a lot of people do that. And that's kind of why I'm able to, I relate very much to my students, because I like to remember exactly what it was like to be in their position and how it felt, especially teenagers going through all these, you know, thinking, you know.
So you never went to a counselor. No one ever suggested you take antidepressants. You escaped that whole thing.
Well, I did go. I spoke to someone, but it stopped after like literally a couple of sessions, because I was very, 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 like, I was a little bit stubborn. And the truth is, in terms of like medication or things like that, I've always been against medication. It's like a thing for me. I mean, with anything, because I believe that it's kind of a band-aid. I mean, I don't know if that's right to say or not. Some people really need medication, but I feel like you need to work on
yourself. On this program, folks know that I think it's a crime to give medication to children, and it probably is doing more harm to.
I agree with you 100%.
Even with adults, but go ahead.
Because people have the ability to overcome within themselves. If you're giving somebody a pill, then you're basically telling them you can't do this. You know, people can really overcome these things by themselves. A pill is just, it's like a band-aid. Really, what needs to be done is you need to feed the soul of a person. You need to empower a person. You need to let a person know that you believe in them, that you think the world of them. When you tell somebody, like I've dealt with children that everybody called a bully, or everybody called a snob or rude or whatever it was, but I dealt with them with so much love. I trusted them fully, and they knew that. And even though they would, you know, they would continue to go like in a negative path, I knew it was only because they didn't get that empowerment that they needed. They didn't get that love that they needed. When you give love to somebody and help them see their potential and their value, you can fix so many issues that you don't need necessarily a pill to fix it. People have so much more a power to heal themselves than they think. And it's very much connected to the mind. The power of the mind is amazing. And for me, that's how I was able to get through things, is because I had to build myself up through positive words, through trying to push myself forward, giving myself that positive affirmation, and telling myself, I'm going to prove other people wrong. For me, that's how it was. You know, people told me I can't do things, so I use that as fuel. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be able to accomplish it. I'm going to be able to overcome. And not saying that it wasn't difficult. It's definitely difficult, but you need to learn to love you, in my opinion. It's the most important thing in the world, because that's where all of these issues, so many medical issues and social issues, come from, a lack of understanding that. And to me, it kills me, you know. And sometimes, and the reason that, you know, perpetuates with let's say for me, I had low confidence. I only began to realize that the people I was looking at that I thought had a lot of confidence, they had less confidence than I did. It's all a front. There are so many people out there that feel these ways. They just can put up a better mask. But
Orly, when did you start to really grasp these issues that you articulate exceptionally well? When did you begin to articulate them? Were you doing that in high school before you went to college, before you got a master's degree?
That was in high school. That was through that hardship that I went through. That's where I found my voice.
I'm staring at this miracle of this 15-year-old who goes through what so many 15-year-olds go through, and who maybe even goes through a little more than some others, and who comes out with this positive determination. And I'm looking at it, and it's like this mystery, this miracle. Was there anybody in there who gave you a little help with your voice? Was there anybody who came along and said some of these words to you, said, I care? Or did you just find this in yourself?
Well, I got to tell you, the power of positive thinking came very much from my father. Ever since I was a young kid, my father is the kind of person that no matter how many hardships he's gone through, and he's gone through quite a few, he always says everything is for the good. It's for the good. It's all for the best. Everything comes from God. You know, it's going to be good. There's a reason. There's a mission. And that voice has been in my head, I'm saying, ever since I've been a little kid. So I always had a very, this might have an effect on it. I think it definitely does. I've always had a very close connection for me to God. I was always very spiritual. During that rough time in my life, I was really angry with God, in a sense. I was really angry. But the truth is, it was that belief of that power, the power of positive thinking, that, you know, everything's for the good. And I guess the words of my father, as well as my belief, that really got me through, I have to say. I mean, the power of belief is so important. For me at least, it was, because, you know, that's what got me through. Even on days in today's time, like when things are difficult and I feel like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? You know, because I left my job to work on this. I'm actually just told the school I'm not going to be going back next year, because I believe that this is why I'm here. I feel like this is the purpose of why I'm here, to be able to help other people overcome those obstacles just like I did, to keep that promise to that 15-year-old me that, you know, went through a hardship and felt so alone and felt so lost and just need someone to, you know, to say that, you know, I care about you. You matter. You're important. And most of it is because I realized what I needed. When you go through a hard time in your life, you can become one of two things. Either you can hate the world, or you can learn to love people in such a crazy way because your sensitivity increases. A person who's gone through a rough time is very, very, very sensitive. I use that sensitivity for the purpose of when I look at somebody, when I look at a child, I don't just see what the child shows me. I try to see way beyond what the child is showing me to what's going on inside. And sometimes, you know, people are afraid to let their guard down. There's a lot of people out there that are afraid to let their guard down and afraid to let you see, you know, who they are inside. And so they can sometimes, you know, put on this tough exterior. But if you can see through it, if you could see past it, all of that darkness, and find their light and help them see it, wow, they can change completely. I've seen it firsthand, and it's amazing. It's amazing. You know, so.
Did you ever think about going and getting a degree in counseling or going in that direction? I'm not suggesting it's better than the way you're going. I think the way you're going is extraordinary. But was that a choice for you? Because the ideas you have are the best ideas in counseling.
I got to tell you, when I was younger, I wanted to actually be a psychologist. I wanted to help people or do counseling. And I remember I was, I took a class in high school, and I was afraid that if I made it something that was my job as opposed to something that I do just because it's who I am, that it may not come off the same way. And I was afraid of that. But it's that feeling of wanting to be there for others that led me to film and that led me to teaching. For my years of teaching, I was counseling, hundreds of students. My phone was always ringing. As a teacher, for me at least, that's what a teacher means. I was always on call. It was like a 24/7 thing, whether it's a child calling about something going on with their friends or their family or personally or with school, whatever it was, they knew they can call me. No problem was too small of a problem. And that's important for a child to know, that every problem matters to you. And it says when you're older, you hear a kid complain about a test or something, you're like, oh, what do you care? It's just a test. You know, there's so many other things in life. But for that kid, that's what's important in life right now. That's what's going on in their life. They need to know that somebody can connect with them and that somebody actually cares to hear them. And that's the kind of teacher, at least, that I wanted to be, because I wanted to be that person that I wished that had been there for me. So I acted in the same way as what I wanted. And that's come from that sensitivity.
Orly, you have a very strong voice. You've got a wonderful way of conceptualizing what you're doing.
Thank you.
I'm hoping that you're going to become a big voice out there. I think you're on the way. I mean, you got 6 million to 20 million, however you count them, people listening, you know, watching your YouTube. And people just go to YouTube and they put in Orly. And
They can go to YouTube and they can just type in Life Vest Inside. Mm-hmm. And it'll be the first video there'll be a bunch of videos there. But the one with the most views is on top. It's called Kindness Boomerang. So yeah, they'll be able to see it there for sure. It's also on the homepage of the website.
And do you have people working with you?
That's a great question. I wish I could have people working. I have a lot of people that have reached out from the film that want to volunteer from all different areas. But in terms of actually having a staff of people, I don't, only because, like I mentioned, I'm putting in all my savings into this right now, like literally every dollar. So I don't have enough money to pay like a staff. So I can't actually, have people working with me to that extent, which I wish I did, because I know how much the organization wants to grow, and I want to get it there. But it's just it's difficult without the funding, you know. But I'm not going to let that get me down. I refuse to.
Well, I hope maybe there'll be an angel out there listening, and I'd love to see somebody help you out financially, or just somebody who's maybe retired and would just like to find something exciting, a new project, a way to really help people. And I like, Orly, that you're not just talking superficially about kindness. You're actually talking about a very positive concept of what people need, and especially what young people need. But it's in many ways what we all need at all times.
Yeah.
But it's especially a good conceptualization for what we need to do with children. We just need to wrap ourselves around them and give them kindness and love and attention. And, you know, there's a place for setting boundaries and there's a place for teaching respect. But the most
100%.
Excuse me?
100%. Actually, teaching respect is the biggest thing. It's because people are allowed to be different, but you have to accept people for who they are. And I think that so many of the issues that are going on just across the globe, through war, whatever it is, I mean, so many people want to fight against negativity with war or with more. But that's, again, that's using negative energy to fight something negative. So you're not going to actually do anything. I mean, just look at history. There's still wars today, right? So history proves that doing it the way that we've been doing it is wrong. It's just not working. But if you, I believe that every person, I really love people with all my heart. I think that every person, I don't care how many terrible things that they may have done. And I know I could get killed for saying this from so many people, but I believe that every person, the core of every person, is heart. Everyone is really good inside. They want good. People want good. But whatever it may be that happened in their life, or whether it be fear, or whether it be a lack of understanding of their value, or whatever they were taught, you know, things went astray. But if you talk to the heart of a person, if you actually help remove the darkness, the soul of that person burns really bright. And they want to change. Everybody wants to change. And I'm not just saying this because I think it. I'm saying this because I'm talking about every different country, from different races, religions, ethnicities, backgrounds, reaching out to me, literally opening up their hearts and sharing with me what's going on in their life, saying how they hate that, you know, they have to fight and that there has to be war. I had one story I just want to mention really quickly with a man that reached out to me from another country who was crying to me. We had a Skype conversation. He was crying to me, and he said to me, you know, in my country, they put a gun in my hand, and they tell me to shoot, and I just don't want to shoot anymore. I watched your film, and I started crying because I realized that what was on the screen was the potential I have to do something good in this world. When I heard this guy telling me that, and I was crying when I was speaking to him, but that just shows you, people, there is so much goodness there. We just got to uncover it, and we can, if we start believing again that it's possible.
Orly Waba, we're coming to the end of the show. Her name again, O-R-L-Y-W-A-H-B-A. Her organization, lifevestinside.com. Her theme, kindness. Her website, as I said, lifevestinside.com. And if you want to communicate directly with her, it's Orly, O-R-L-Y, at lifevestinside.com. Orly, stay in touch with me and
sure.
Let me know how you're doing. I wish you the very, very best, and I hope you'll be as big as someday as Facebook itself. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate your time and for having me.
And this is Dr. Peter Breggin. I don't know why I'm throwing in the doctor. I am delighted to have had Orly on the show, and I look forward to seeing what she's going to be doing in the future. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
You've been listening to the Dr. Peter Breggin Hour with a new live show every Monday evening at 5 p.m. East Coast time on the Progressive Radio Network, where each show is archived for your convenience. You can learn more about Dr. Breggin and his lifelong reform work on www.breggin.com. That's B-R-E-G-G-I-N.com.